Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I should probably have... I've broken tradition. I usually start by saying, in theory, we're live. And I hope we are. Testing? Is this thing on?
I don't know if we're live, but I think we're recording.
Maybe in theory, wonderful. We're past.
Arkbeth in chat is saying, yes, we are live. See, this was your cue, because at least one of you usually goes, woohoo, whenever I say in theory.
Oh,
we're
it's
live.
Usually me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was usually me.
You blew it. It sometimes it's multiple people, but no matter.
Could be.
My name is Crash. I will be your DM for the evening. I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including but not limited to Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. And we're going to do this the same way we did last week, where I'm going to say... What did we do?
I made you briefly regret a house rule because I used it to cast Firebolt twice.
Yeah. That is so.
Yes, we got rid of, what's his name, Mr. Sandstorm, who called us lesser beings, by having Zeely Fireball twice really, really hard.
Mr. Sandman, eat some Fireball. Turn into ashes and go to
the lower planes.
And then we fought the other guy who... I actually am not 100% sure what happened.
He turned into mist, is what I remember.
After he grappled me.
Which is a bad idea.
Off the ground floor. So all Daldane knows is that he went away somehow.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he didn't move from there. Yeah. And we kind of made friends with two giant skeletons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, grapple the person who can set herself on fire.
Yep.
And Vine, brother.
I think the giant skeletons had any will. It's just that they were being controlled by the cool villain.
Yeah.
Who I forget the name of. Better. Except that I asked him if he was a duke, like, three times, and keep wanting to call him Ozymandias.
No.
It was,
Deucalion. Deucalion.
Yeah.
The Duke of Extraterrestrial Beings.
With his minions, E.T. and Alf.
Well, E.T.'s the cleric, we know that.
Or a druid, maybe. Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, we talked to him a bit.
Screwed me up as a kid. I mean, I'm saying spoilers on a 36-year-old movie.
Right, yeah.
But the scene where E.T. got dissected and died, or probed and died, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
I haven't seen it since then either.
That screwed me up.
Wait, he doesn't get home in the end?
Oh no, he does. He comes back to life.
Ah, okay.
Like that was the whole thing though, was like by healing Elliot, he gave up part of his own life force, and so to save Elliot's life, he had to die, but then he came back to life. And oh my goodness.
Which makes him kind of plant-like.
Metaphor.
It's kind of, it's kind of plant-like. Like perennials.
He comes down to Earth. He gets found by humans. He heals someone.
He dies to
save someone else. He comes back to life. He ascends back to the heavens.
Yeah,
and
I
along
get that.
The way, he gets drunk and makes an entire school of kids drunk.
Oh no.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But he did inspire Mac and Me, which is arguably one of the worst movies that anyone has ever paid money to make.
Made. Yes.
Well, what can you expect from a fast food tie-in knockoff?
And I'm saying this with the total understanding that I have seen a movie referred to as Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I've seen that and Mac and Me.
I have
and
not.
Let's be clear for anybody who hasn't seen Mac and Me. Mac literally in the context of the film, is short for McDonald's.
What?
Wow.
When I said fast food tie-in, I was being serious.
Yeah, wow. I completely missed that whole thing. Never saw it.
But here's the thing. Manos, the hands of fate. Manos is Spanish for hands. So the movie was called Manos. Hands, the hands of fate.
Yeah, Manos. Mm-hmm.
It had 20 minutes of footage of a camera pointing out a car window as it drove over featureless countryside. Were they meant to put credits superimposed on top of it, but forgot to?
Oh my goodness.
They MST3K'd it. It's the only MST3K episode ever where TV's Frank apologizes.
Wow.
He says, I know it's our job to show you bad movies, but we've gone too far.
Wow.
But this is not Movie Critics, the podcast. This is Dungeons and Dragons. So, I believe we ended the last session with everyone getting into Daldane's magnificent dungeon, or whatever you decided to call it last time. I'm not sure I want to remember. Dazzling Dwelling. I think you had a different name for it, but I'm not going back listening to that episode right now.
Yeah.
We'll pause the recording. I'm going to go back and listen to it, and then we'll come back.
No, that's actually a horrible idea. If I make a new one up.
Yes. After your long rest, I'm assuming you come back out, or are you going to teleport home right from there?
I say we come back out. I mean, by the sounds of it, Duke Alien probably isn't coming back, and we could still try to look around the temple or palace for some clues.
And loot.
Well, yeah.
Gox has already forgotten what we're here for anyway.
We're just trying to get information on how Tiamat operates so we can more easily track down and kill people Tiamat or the people who follow Tiamat.
Okay, more battles. Gotcha.
Yeah.
There are usually more battles.
We found out that there were 20 of these guys who were serving Tiamat, and we're not 100% sure if we just killed two of them and maybe met a third.
One of them did manage to escape. One of them, you're fairly certain there's nothing left.
Because I turned him into ashes.
So yeah, the fireball guy I thought died, but I thought we definitively saw the other guy turn into mist and escape through a crack or something we couldn't follow.
Like I said, I was on the ground floor.
So yeah, you didn't know.
Deucalion was just a little bit upset that guy got away. He thought that maybe he had that guy's backup resting place staked out. But that wasn't determined 100%.
Okay. I remember that now.
Okay.
So let's search the palace and see what we can find.
All right. Well, as you leave your dazzling dwelling, directly in front of your entrance and or exit, depending on if you're coming or going. I don't know if you're coming or going. It's really up to you. Galax is right there. He is reassembled. He is reanimated. Oh. And he is the most sheepish of skeletons you've ever seen.
Galax, you're back!
Quick question. Is his head still orange?
No, prestidigitation only lasts an hour.
Less than an hour.
Okay. And you've had a long rest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Jokes.
Should I turn your head orange again?
I'd rather you didn't.
Fair enough. Varn, your brother's back!
Okay. I'm gonna have to roll something.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
That's a nat 20 on a grapple tackle attack. Versus an 8 for the contesting roll.
Oh.
After a brief moment where rib bones are awkwardly put back in place after they were knocked loose and clear across the street, Galax recomposes himself and says,
I'd like to thank you for asking Deucalion to put me back together. It was kind of nice of you, but
no problem.
He kind of had I think the word he used was bargain, but you've got a choice.
Okay.
So you kind of did him a favor. You did him a real solid favor for trying to go after those two advisors. That was great and all, even though one of them sort of kind of got away and had already moved his resting place. So he got away, as opposed to just got away and then got killed by a bunch of skeletons afterwards. So he likes to pay his debts. He said something about being a Lannister. I don't get the reference, but
That means he builds roads.
It might be. The DM hasn't seen Game of Thrones, so he just knows it from osmosis, whatever that means. So basically, he's willing to free me from service, and I can hang out with Varn or go with you or whatever, and that'd be cool. And debt's paid. That's all good. Or I can stay here, and you leave, and Deucalion still owes you a favor.
When Deucalion says free you from service, does that include you continuing to be animated?
He said you'd ask that. Yes, I would gain 100% free will. He would not control me anymore. I mean, there's still ways to control me. Necromancers can dominate undead pretty easily. But otherwise, I'd be able to go see the world.
Go with your brother. Or with us, if you want.
But Varn's hanging out with us, so at least right now.
You know, I know someone who's sort of in a similar boat as you were, though not exactly the same.
This is a desert. We don't have any boats here.
Metaphorical boat.
Oh. Is that like a simile?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that's my favorite metaphor joke of all time, and I will keep using it as much as I can. I think Deucalion talked about him. Some would call him Tim?
Tim.
Oh, yeah. Tim's a friend.
Yeah. So,
I think it's pretty solid we're picking your freedom.
Ah, okay. Well, we're gonna have to leave pretty quickly, though, because that's part of the deal. If I'm free, I don't get to stay, and we don't get to stay.
Well, I can bring us all somewhere or else. Where exactly should I bring us?
Did we have any other leads besides this desert?
It was the main one you latched onto. Otherwise, looking for cultists to a dragon god that hadn't been seen in hundreds of years doesn't pull up a lot of references. And even this one was a bit of a long shot.
No, but we have clues. Let's go back to that city.
Which city?
The one that we went north to it, and then we came south to the town that worshipped the dragon, and then we went through the swamp, and then we got here.
Oh,
the ones we got the donkeys at.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you're not familiar with an arcane circle in De Perfecta itself. You're certain that there are some there, but you don't know of any specifics that are there.
Actually, we could go back to that. Okay. De Perfecta is a good second. First, let's go back to the temple at the other one.
Oh, the city that the Chiklaw... The clams at.
The one, No. The temple that Fennec Sr.'s house is outside of.
That's the De Perfecta one, I think.
Technically, it's more of a suburb of De Perfecta. It's a day's travel to get from De Perfecta to that town. But, yeah, I would say that you know how to get to the teleportation circle there.
Okay. So let's go there. We can regroup, and we can think about our next plan and not be in the middle of a desert city full of dead people.
I kind of take offense at that, but it's also kind of on the nose.
Well, no, I mean, I don't mean undead people. I mean dead people.
I see dead people.
Like, I'm assuming that not all of these skeletons are voluntarily animate.
None of us are.
Okay.
So where are we going?
Back to
near Fennec's house.
Near Fennec's house.
Okay.
He might have cooled down from when you had his house burned to the ground.
That was not my fault.
Yeah, Sox had something similar to say.
Mm-hmm.
A white dragon literally burst outside of it.
All right, gather around. Gift.
Okay.
I'm going to give a gift to Galax. Because I have a set of costume clothes that I have not yet worn.
What does this costume look like?
It's like a stereotypical plague doctor. You know what I'm talking about? With the long, the mask.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Okay, so he puts it on. Glad to have an outfit that, well, just have an outfit. Whatever process removed the flesh from Galax's bones also removed his clothing. So he's very happy to have outerwear to wear on the outer side of him. So he puts the Plague Doctor mask on and he says,
I really have to move my rest of this.
What?
I really have to move my rest of this.
I want to poke a hole in that.
He takes it off and says, it's really hard to move my mouth in this. And it's very difficult to breathe.
Do you need to breathe?
Not really, but it's the principle of the thing.
I understand. Let's see.
That makes one of us.
I'll take out my dagger and carve a bit off the bottom so it just covers his nose and not his face.
Okay. So now the Plague Doctor mask is even more terrifying because you can look through part of it to see a skeleton inside. you have taken a horror show and combined them. Their powers combined are Captain Horror Show. Galax, not having a mirror, is incredibly pleased.
Excellent. That's all I really wanted.
All right.
Shall we go back to De Perfecta, or the suburb thereof?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to assume that Zeely gets to show off at this point.
And since I know it's a teleportation circle, there is no mishap chance, which is great. And I cast teleport.
Okay. You teleport into a receiving chamber, if you will. Well, they're not going to put a teleportation circle in their inner sanctum, where their deepest secrets are discussed.
Just, I know this campaign, and I was really waiting for it. You teleport into smoldering ruins.
Honestly, well, I'm kind of surprised we didn't.
I wasn't going to say that, but let me add this to my notes. let me open my notes here. Okay, so ideas to add. We got giant doom kobolds.
You know, this is where all the giant doom kobolds live.
And
there's lots of dragonborn here.
Yes, we did establish that giant doom kobolds are effectively dragonborn. Considering one of the recurring villains in the original campaign happened to be a green dragonborn, working as intended. Okay, so, but you've been here before. You teleport there flawlessly, as you are, of course, aware. But two of your party have not been there before. Namely...
Uh-oh. Yeah, you're right.
Well, you're still a bunch of kobolds, so anyone who'd be familiar with you, they don't want to be that dragonborn, but all the kobolds kind of look alike.
Except for our hats!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I still don't have.
And also, one of you has platinum wings, so you kind of stand out in a crowd.
Mm.
Or fly out of a crowd.
Except for my lack of hat.
Yes. Wings make up for a lack of hat.
Mm-hmm. I think Marwise is actually hatless, too.
Oh, that's right. You came in after the hats were handed out.
Yeah, that was a whole other thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Varn is looking around the chamber going, ooh. And he thinks that's kind of cool. Galak is very, very, very still.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. I put him in my bag of holding.
He gives a muffled squeak as he goes in.
Crisis averted.
Is he okay?
Well, he doesn't need to breathe, so...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, he was really still. Did he, like... Can he move?
Religion check.
I think he's in the temple.
Religion check.
I will also make a religion check.
I have a 17, and religion is -2, I think. So, yeah.
+2.
I got a total 19. of 18.
19.
Okay, so the 18 and 19 are going to do it. You brought a kobold that is undead, created by ostensibly a dragon that admittedly serves Tiamat, into the temple of Tiamat's arch-rival.
And then I put him in my bag of holding.
There's a pretty good chance that there's a lot about this temple that wards it against specific beings like Galax.
Oops.
And now he's not in the temple. He's in the bag of holding.
This is true. The contents of the bag are technically not in the temple because they are in extra-dimensional space.
Exactly.
I will say that if you had left him not in your bag of holding for a bit longer, he probably would have started screaming.
And that's why I put him in my bag of holding.
So as someone who lives in an apartment complex, I'm really glad that I didn't have to act out his screaming.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The activation of the teleportation circle does alert the locals to your presence. And a guard sticks his head in and goes, "Oh, the kobolds are back."
Hello.
Hi.
Fenix, I'm sorry, Mr. Generalis isn't here right now. I think he's at the construction site.
Oh, are they rebuilding his house?
Yes, they are. They are. You might want to go talk to him. He might have things to say to you.
Uh-oh.
Is he still mad at us?
I think...
Look, the fire was not my fault. That was Socks. That was... And, you know, at the dragon. And, look, I put out the fires I set.
And if I remember... Talk to him. Correctly, you also helped kill the dragon?
Right.
Which...
With a fireball to the face.
Which, that dragon's scales are paying for the reconstruction, so...
Yeah.
Look, there's a lot to unpack, and I'm actually...
So. I'm not unpacking anything.
it's a figure of speech. I'm really just stationed here because I tried a practical joke that sort of backfired, so this is my double duty of a punishment. So, I'm probably not the one to give you all of the backstory. You should probably go talk to Fenix. I mean, Mr. Generalis.
Okay, we can do that.
Yes. Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
I'll give the guard a card.
Hey, I've seen these before. Cool, now I've got one. Okay. It does not require a perception check, but I will allow you to RP whether or not you notice based on your own preferences. But as you walk through the temple towards the entrance, you do turn a lot of heads, where there are a lot of dragonborn that just sort of stop and stare at you as you go past.
Sailing looks, she assumes that this is, you know, what people should be doing. She looks slightly more smug.
Okay. Gox doesn't notice at all.
Yes, it's me, it's Daldane. Take it in.
I imagine that there is a spring in Daldane's step, and she is literally handing cards out to every dragonborn she passes. Yeah. And if they don't reach for it automatically, she just sort of flips it between her fingers. Like, well, you missed your chance.
I can
and then she
that.
Goes to hand it to the next dragonborn.
Zeely fist bumps her.
What's happening here? Face to face with Grimace, and it's strange.
I am going to try and probably fail at the whole thing more casual. You know, just when I see them staring, give them a polite wave, say hi, good morning, or afternoon, or whichever is applicable.
Okay.
I'm laughing at the GIF, sorry.
I think it's very accurate, actually.
Yeah.
All right, and there's our copyright strike for the evening.
Oh.
Okay.
sorry.
Okay, as you go through town, there are actually... there's still staring going on. You didn't get this much staring the last time you were in town. And you even pick up a few mutters. as you go through town towards Fenix's estate. And
I try to listen.
You try to what?
I want to know what they're saying. I try to listen. This either means... And if I can't hear it, I'm going to stare at them uncomfortably.
Okay. Well, give me a perception check to see if you can pick up what they're muttering, because they're actively trying to not be overheard by you.
Let's see if Sidekick catches up.
Daldane hears nothing with an 11.
Sidekick.
And...
I spend my inspiration. I do not take any damage. Would my thing stop? Yes, I want to tap that, not the damage thing.
Zuni tries to listen so hard that she gets an earache.
Hello, Sidekick.
You can do it, Sidekick. We believe in you.
We believe in you. I believe in you, Sidekick.
I do believe in spooks.
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks.
Come on, Sidekick. You can do it. You can do it. Come on.
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, where we give emotional support to a bot because it's trying very hard to roll and failing at it.
Yeah, it's doing a lot of nothing right now.
Okay, do I need to roll in a dice app on my phone? Is that what I need to do?
Whoa.
Okay, so we have two bots in Discord, and apparently...
Yes. I was going to figure out how to make Sir Amoric roll.
Okay, I will...
You put a question mark instead of a slash.
All right, come on, Sir Amoric, you can do it. Give me a...
You have a 12. A mighty 12.
Great.
Okay.
So, no. You know that they are muttering things that are probably in response to seeing you, but you don't know what they're saying.
Okay, fine. So...
Hey, so what are you chatting about?
They give you a look and go about their business.
They're muttering things Kobold was not meant to know.
Oh, come on! I would have gotten a 19! Sidekick finally
they finally caught up. Oh.
Oh, poor Sidekick.
Dang it! Dang it, that was a much better roll.
Sadly, I'm going to treat that delay like a floor die. Floor dice don't count.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, with my...
So the answer is I should get my dice out, huh?
with my school group, what I did, because we were all in the same room and I didn't want students to have to crawl under computer desks for things, I told them floor dice counted as crit fails.
Oh, no.
So they were very careful to keep it on the desk.
Well, not that careful. There were a significant number of crit fails.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. They were conscious of it, but they didn't rein in everything perfectly well. Even though I had something for them to roll in, they're like, well, yes, I could roll the die in this tray that you set out on the table. That would be wise. But instead, I'm going to toss this die across the table in the direction of my friend, who is not exactly positioned properly.
Okay.
And Arkbeth in chat was going, small friend, roll, roll! No, the small friends are the kobolds.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
but which is bigger, a kobold or a computer program bot?
That's a very good question. I wonder what size server Sidekick is on. Or would you count the entire server rack? If you're counting the server rack, definitely the server.
Give me a hand. 8.
I went to clap.
10, 12, 20.
And I realized I couldn't clap and hold my push talk button at the same time.
It's going to be yellow. 8's going to be one of my original dice.
Okay.
What are you rolling for?
Oh, no. I'm getting out a set of dice.
Oh, okay. I understand now. All right.
Well,
I have a D4. 3d6, one of them's different, a d8, a d10, 2d10 actually, a d12, and a d20.
All right.
And a partridge in a pear tree. We still don't know where it came from.
And the d8 is one of my original set of dice. Very first dice I ever bought, which are especially special because I bought them at a gaming store in France.
Wow. Ooh.
Nice.
My original set of dice came with a red box.
Hmm, yeah.
And I was the one who used the crayon on them. Okay. So it was established that you were adventuring at night because kobolds, sunlight, bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I am going to assume that you've actually teleported back around sunset because you took a rest. I'm assuming you mm-hmm. languished and lounged and perhaps ate all the bacon.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. That was Gox.
That's how barbarians get their spell points back. They eat all the bacon.
And Gox has no spell points, so that means Gox needs more bacon.
Of course.
It's a vicious cycle. All right. So it's still light enough for Dragonborn to see, but it's dark enough that kobolds are just fine. And as you are approaching the Fenix Estate, you can see there's scaffolding up. There is what looks like a well-established first floor in regards to walls that has been built. Not finished, but built. And there's framework for a second floor that is up, but very much skeletal in nature. Not made of actual bones. That would be really cool, but Fenix Sr. probably wouldn't.
I'm assuming they have stopped.
You don't see anyone building anything at this point.
Okay.
Everyone has gone home for the night.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Has everybody gone home, or is there a workers' camp?
You don't see any workers.
All right. How about Fenix Sr.?
You don't currently see him.
All right. About what time is it?
Sunset.
I'm going to suggest that we take another rest and get up during the day.
Farn says, I'm not tired at all.
Then you can hang out in the Dazzling Dwelling as long as you want.
No, should we get Farn's
brother
out of
it? And I can take your brother out of my bag of holding.
Yes.
Oh, that might be a good idea.
Insert Mario pipe noise here.
Just let me figure out how to pull him back out. You see, I am,
bone by bone, Galax comes out of the bag of holding.
Oh. Z pulls out the skull and says, alas, Galax.
Oh, okay.
I knew him, Barn.
I can solve this. I can solve this problem.
I was joking. You don't pull out just his head.
No. I mean the problem of Zeely having a strength of 5.
Well,
Gox, will you remove Galax from the bag of holding, please?
That's a better idea.
I can do that, fine. Sure.
Because the rules for the bag of holding allow this.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so is Gox doing this or not?
You can.
Okay. So I'm going to reach into the bag of holding and kind of look around and see if I can find him. Then I'm going to try to pick him up under his arms and lift him out of the bag.
Okay. It does not require a strength roll. As literally a bunch of bones wrapped up in a plague doctor costume.
Right, yeah.
He is incredibly light.
Okay, so I bring him out of the bag of holding and very gently set him down next to Zeely.
Also, fortunately for Galax and tragically for Gox, inedibly light.
But he talks.
He's not food. Food doesn't talk. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. He's still, very, very still for a little while.
It's okay, we're out of the temple.
You're safe now.
You could have warned me about that.
We didn't know it was going to...
I forgot it was a thing.
Sorry.
That was as terrifying as a halfling wizard opening a door to the Nine Hells when she thought it was a door to the kitchen. I don't really understand that reference, but that's what comes to mind.
Neither do I. Is that a normal...
No, it's not normal at all. Please don't put me back in the bag.
Is that a thing? I haven't met...
We're just going to have to keep you out of the temple.
Do they do that a lot?
I'm casting...
Is that how wizards cast plane shift?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a spell.
I'm casting D3 against one of the existing walls of the house.
Okay. So you go and...
It takes me a full minute to cast, so...
Okay. So while you are casting this spell,
a door that is next to where you're casting it opens up and a kobold walks through.
Oh, huh?
Oh, hey, you already got started. Great. Oh, wait. Do I know you?
I don't know.
Do I know them?
Give me... dang, what check would this be? Give me a straight-up wisdom roll.
Straight-up wisdom. Okay.
Everyone or just...
See anyone me? Who wants to see if they recognize this 15. Kobold.
That's a 3.
Let me try.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. I've got a 10.
Marwise got a 24 with a nat 20.
This is a pal of Marwise's.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, not a pal of Marwise's specifically, but this is one of the Rotfoot kobolds.
Ah.
Wait, what are you doing here and not there?
Would you live in a swamp?
You got a good point there, yeah.
That's a fair cap.
Yeah.
Yes, but I know teleport.
And we don't.
You know teleport?
No, we hoofed it.
So you guys are living here now?
Eh, kinda. We sort of made a deal to help fix up the place.
Oh, okay. Oh. Cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Looks like you're doing a good job.
Yeah. So we get to hang out in the caves underneath, and Mr. Generalis doesn't slay us all. And
has he been slaying you?
No.
Okay, good.
We decided to throw that stipulation in pretty fast.
Well, considering, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah,
we got one of your sorcerers back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Galax.
He's not a sorcerer. That's Varn. He's the guy who kept bringing skunks in. Did he still have the skunk?
What?
Oh, yeah, Stinky's right here. Put that away.
Now, we're talking about the one in the hat with the really long beak. Galax?
Galax? And another kobold says, what?
Uh-oh. Why are there two Galax?
I mean, it could be a common name.
It's true. It could be like John.
I don't think I've ever known a kobold named Galax, except this one. And I guess there's that one.
There was another Zeely in my old clan's history.
Look, the Dungeon Master's Guide only gives 20 common kobold names, so we kind of keep using them. I mean, I got 3 brothers named Hagnar.
It okay,
gets
well,
really confusing.
Their last name.
We managed to get a hold of a Galax who's a brother of Arn's.
Galax waves awkwardly. Doesn't ring a bell.
Sadly, we couldn't save Arnest.
A kobold that is on the second floor and trying to use a pulley system to pull some timbers up waves down and says, "It's okay, I'm right here."
Wow.
All right. I'm going to plant the doorway onto that wallscape and head myself on in.
Okay. Who do you put on the welcome list?
Everybody in the party, Varn and Galax. I didn't catch the name of the kobold who came out.
X. Yeah. E-K-S. Not the letter.
Okay.
You know what? They got their own Warren.
Yeah, they said they do.
Okay. So, you're gonna have a bacon party, and none of them are invited.
More for me. Gotta feed the barbarian.
It's what they get for forgetting about Galax, brother of Varn.
I'll invite X and whoever else I can see.
Okay. Every kobold you can see that you invite goes in.
It's a party.
Plenty of room, plenty of food.
Mm-hmm.
There are some velvet ropes that are set up outside the door to your magnificent mansion. one kobold wearing a very smart suit and some dark sunglasses is checking a list at the door.
Sorry, Tacklack, you're not on the list. But you let the other Tacklack in.
Yeah,
this says Tacklack, not Tacklacks. That would mean there'd be 2 of you. I'm going to let the first one in.
Isn't Tacklack the name of...
The DM was being very serious. Dungeons & Dragons gives a bunch of stereotypical kobold names, and it only goes up to 20.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm certain I know some Tacklack. I might know several
yes,
Tacklacks.
Yes, you encountered a Tacklack back in the Chipclaw.
Oh, yeah.
Deldane will put on a brief show and then go back to bed.
Gox is going to go eat all the bacon he can, and then he's going to
give me a performance check. All right, well, with a 26 sounds great. You are kind of phoning it in, but you have a plus 13 to performance, so phoning it in is pretty nifty when you are dealing with animals that have never experienced a phone before. they are all quite pleased with their brand new shiny laminated I totally know Daldane cards. And as soon as the performance is over, they have a celebratory meal where they allow Gox to have all the bacon because he may or may not have involuntarily growled at them when they reached for it.
Well, you know, it's bacon.
It was kind of like, I forget the name of it, but the musical instrument where the tone changes depending on how close you put your hand to it.
Theremin.
Thank you. It was kind of like a theremin. Gox was kind of like a theremin, but instead of like strange electronic music that sounded kind of like retro spacey in an 80s kind of way, it was more like a growl.
Okay.
Where the intensity increased as their hand got closer to the pile of bacon, and then it receded as they moved the hand away. One of them attempts to use that to make a Gox instrument. I'm going to roll a performance check for them. That is a 2. It does not go over well, and several of their friends pull them away before any fingers are lost.
Oh, wow.
Gox would have done anything, but...
No. I'm going to assume Gox is unaware that he's... I'm going to guess that he's unaware that he's been inadvertently growling at them. And maybe some of the growling was, in fact, his stomach, you know? So... He's just eating bacon, as far as he knows.
Or maybe one of them was a bit of a trickster and they were ventriloquizing.
It could be that too.
I don't know if that's a word, but it is now, Dagnabbit.
It is now. It sounds like a kobold word, so.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, if a presidential candidate from back in the day could make up the word normalcy and get elected on a campaign slogan of a return to normalcy... This is not modern politics, so I don't feel bad discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ellie. That's not my favorite GIF. I know it's your new favorite GIF. It's not my favorite, but I'm still clicking on the little star that adds that to my favorites. I don't know what's up with that, but David Tennant is usually a win.
I don't know the context, but wow. Okay.
I have no context for it.
Okay, so you go and get a second long rest in a row.
Yeah.
Yay, I recover my teleport.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Because
I recover my triple D.
Because you are taking a long rest at sunset, when your long rest is over, it's now dawn.
That's the idea.
Covered in dish soap.
Gox shakes it off like a dog.
Vegetation.
Too late.
You clean off the cleaning agent.
I want it off of me.
Your scales have a sheen to them that they haven't had in some time.
If I wanted them that shiny, I'd press to digitate them.
And you don't have that oil slick residue.
Daldane, is there a laundry room in here?
There sure is.
Who got into it?
Probably one of the kobolds.
That's what I thought.
Varn.
Come on, little friends, as we all sing a happy.
Varn approaches and says,
friend strong.
It was Osas and Molo. They thought the laundry room was a bath.
Oh, that explains it.
In other news, I don't know what spin cycle was supposed to be, but Molo had a lot to eat last night.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about magical dwellings that only appear for 24 hours at a time.
They're still cleaning.
They found out if they filled it with dish detergent, then they would spray that all around, and it cleared off most of it.
Well, thank goodness and Aldane for infinite amounts of dish detergent.
Did they have anything to eat before they came in?
I think they had breakfast.
All right, everybody get out of the way when the door...
Uh-oh.
Because any foreign material is going to get expelled.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Well, you've only had a single long rest. The dazzling dwelling lasts for 24 hours.
For a while.
Yeah.
I'll let it sit for a while.
It's only going to be worse.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but 16 hours after we leave, someone else can clean it up.
So Gallic is going around, going, prestidigitate.
Oh God, prestidigitate.
Bad news. He does not actually know prestidigitation. He's just saying the word over and over again and waving his hands around.
Oh no.
Trill a cheery tune in the tub as we scrabble stubborn mildew stain. Pluck a hairball from the shower drain to the gay reef. Have a happy working sound. So, this seems like about the right time to take a break.
It is, in fact. We have been recording for just under an hour. And I realize I keep listing the times that things have been going. So anyone listening to the recording afterwards can look at the timestamp and go, wait, but it's only been 20 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we're that kind of group.
Well, I also edit out like any long silence where somebody's typing in something or whatever. So
yeah, I know.
None of those are particularly long, but they do add up over time. All right, so we are going to take 5 for a stretch break and to refresh our drinks. We'll be back after a short rest. Okay, let me know when to press the record button.
Uh-oh.
About an hour ago?
Okay, I will go back in time and press it exactly 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 32 seconds ago.
Did you not press it?
That is exactly when I pressed it.
Oh, okay.
Do-do-do. Oh, never mind. That entire song is copyrighted, I'm sure. All right. So, welcome back. You've had an... You had your long rest. You've had breakfast. It is dawn.
I see what's happening here. Face to face with kobolds, and it's strange.
Well, you've been face to face with other kobold clans before. This group seems to be much more amicable with you than last time. But this time, you've given them food.
That's true.
That's fair.
And a really neat ride that has a setting called Spin Cycle.
Wee!
But you are out of Dawn detergent soap.
Fortunately, every room in the Warren is sound.
Every room in the Warren what?
Is soundproof.
This may have been tested.
I learned this lesson the first time I cast the spell without soundproofing and had to sleep adjacent to Gox.
He only snores a lot.
And loud, yeah. But I don't think he knows he snores because he sleeps through it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's typically with people that snore.
Through the night because Gox. They weren't tired, the Rotfoot clan was going through like, can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. The other kobold was going, what? 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 But that was their evening.
Yes.
But now it is dawn, and they're all quite sleepy. So they've decided they're all going to go home and take a long rest.
Okay.
Yes, it's time for them to retreat to their warrens and us to talk to Fennec Senior.
Okay. So as a troop of sleepy kobolds
all sort of single file, sing a copyrighted Disney song that was originally sung by dwarves, and head out towards the Warren. You follow out, and you see Fennec Sr. standing there with his arms crossed, and he's just looking at you. And so there is a word that I learned about from reading Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. It's a beautiful word. Oh, ineffable.
I've known that word for a very long time. It's on my word. It was on my mom's life journal. She had a blog title of Elizabeth- The Oath of God. And then underneath it in italics was Witch Oath? I'm ineffable. And that's why I've known the word ineffable for most of my life.
Cool.
I'm getting nostalgic for live journal. I remember my live journal. But never mind about that.
Yep.
It makes me sad. It's owned by Russians now.
Oh. What we're hearing is that Fennec Sr. can't be F.
He's ineffable. Sorry, that just cracks me up, man.
Look, you play a role-playing game where God is a major component for long enough, you find all the jokes.
Well, in any case, he's just staring at you with a blank look on his face.
Hi, remember us?
Cox waves.
Zeely also waves.
Yes. Yes,
I do. We're the ones who didn't destroy your house.
There is some debate on what percentage of that statement is true.
Well, Sox isn't here.
100% of the kobolds present did not destroy your house.
Is Sox doing well?
I hope so. He decided to do some traveling. We don't know what he's doing.
He's probably fine. He's impossible to find if he doesn't want to be found.
And he can run really fast.
And he can run really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Smash cut to a scene where there is a round table illuminated by a single lantern hanging above it. Sox.
Sox is running very fast away from
him. No, he's sitting at the table, wearing one of those visors with a translucent green visor brim. And he's holding a deck of cards, and he's shuffling it, and he's like, "So we all agree, if I win this hand, you tell me what I want to know." And there's some grunts in agreement to this, and he deals out the cards, and he goes, "Aha! Read it and weep! Four aces!" And every other set of hands, none of them human, and some of them not necessarily humanoid, set down their cards as well. Everyone at the table has four aces.
Remember, ties go to the attacker.
Zilly's got inspiration again.
Zilly's got her inspiration back.
Oh my gosh, that's the best quote of the evening. Oh my gosh, that's glorious. Give me a moment. Give me a moment.
You know, I like to think that I have a comedy instinct, but sometimes I pale in comparison to EO.
Aww.
EO, you just broke the DM.
You have double inspiration.
Sadly, that still counts as a single point. Okay. It's the rare one where multiplying by it is similar to multiplying by zero, where you still get the original number when you're done.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's weird that way. All right. So we will smash cut back away from that scene as the sounds of combat begin. Back to Fennec Sr. and the gang.
Look, we killed the dragon that broke your...
Yes, I was there.
We got revenge.
Yes. And I learned a valuable lesson about...
throwing fireballs at its face.
about not being underneath the dragon when you unleash your killing blow.
And I learned I don't need somatic components for Dimension Door. That counts for something, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Learning opportunities are usually good, even if they are the silver lining for a very bad day. And I think we can agree that particular occasion was a very bad day.
It was a very bad day.
Yes, a no good, horrible, very bad day.
And we are very sympathetic that you lost your house and all the...
It is the house I raised my son in. It is the house that I grew up in, that my father grew up in, and his father before him, and his father before him, and his mother before him. It's a long story. Never mind about that.
Well, you're going to have it back soon, aren't you?
In a manner of speaking, and I do appreciate that you saved most of the books. I've spent... Yes, Arkbeth, in a manner of speaking, I retroactively take credit for all puns. The puns are intended.
Oh, took me
whether
a minute,
or not
I got it.
I meant them when I say them, they're intended afterwards. There is literally one exception to that rule that happened earlier today before we recorded. Mm-hmm. But Fenix is not moved by the realization that he made a pun. He actively tries to ignore that fact and would like to roll disbelieve that fact, if possible. matter of fact, I'm going to roll. He rolled a 2. He cannot disbelieve that pun. He's going to have to live with that, along with other bad life choices he's made with his life.
You got to own it, Fenny.
Please do not ever call me that.
Well, you tell me why you're mad at us. I have a deal.
I've been furious with you for a considerable time. I've had a lot of meditation and tried to see things in perspective. Bahamut gives, Bahamut takes away. Bahamut allows me to smite my foes and render them into ash.
Are you trying to tell us that you somehow learned Fireball?
I'm a gold-scaled dragonborn. I literally breathe fire.
Right, yes, that... Wait, but that has... Oh, right, because... Look, I'm not proficient in the religion skill.
Okay, so what does any of this have to do with you being furious at us?
Well, my life was a lot more quiet and boring before a band of kobolds walked into it. And I still had my home. But also, there was an ancient green dragon who wanted to be a god. That isn't around anymore.
That's true.
And there was a white dragon that very much wanted something from my home that it did not get. So I have been trying to see things from a perspective where it wasn't necessarily about me.
I'm very strongly hoping that you... Seeing it from a perspective where it wasn't about us.
He actually gives a bit of a chuckle when you say that.
In my experience, a lot of things turn out to be about me. And a lot of them... Zilly, you know, I get into a lot of trouble.
You've yes, met my right, son.
Yes, yes, we have.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
He said, you've met my son.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Some
That's
of that
true.
Was not under the best circumstances, but I'm given to understand that was the sword's fault.
Yes. Well, for what it's worth, I do not hold you accountable for my misfortunes. They are, as the kids are saying these days, a me problem.
Again, what if Bahamut sent us, you know, maybe to change
you.
Your life?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that would be you specifically. And, you know, considering.
But you follow Bahamut too, so...
Now I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if this was, like, Bahamut's plan?
Then I need to have another crisis of faith.
I mean, maybe Bahamut needs Fenix Sr. to do something different than he was doing with his life. Just a guess. I don't know.
I have come to believe that free will... is not just a dual blessing and curse for us mortals.
It is an excellent movie about orcas.
You have inspiration if you didn't already have it, and I'm upset that you got it, because that joke should not have been funny. And yet I laughed. The scales might still be tipped from Io's comment earlier. Galax almost raises his hand and says, speak for yourself, but Varn pulls his hand down and kind of shushes him before he can do that. But also for the gods, history is full of stories where one mortal or another turned the tide against some evil god's plan. So one could argue that perhaps this was Bahamut's plan all the time, or perhaps, when given an opportunity, he improvised.
Bahamut never says no. Bahamut always says yes and.
Oh, no, I assure you, he said no quite a lot. And for a few occasions, more than a few occasions, it was in your favor. And then he looks over at the ruins of his house, which admittedly are partially rebuilt, and says, I have to say your new friends were a bit trying, though. Where did you pick them up exactly?
In a swamp.
Where a dragon was pretending to be their god and killing their sorcerers and making them steal from a local town of humans.
Yeah, but we killed that dragon, so it's okay now.
We seem to kill false gods a lot. Oh, and then Doldane summoned a temple.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I convinced everyone to come inside.
You summoned a temple?
Yeah.
It wasn't to you, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Fennec Sr. is very wise, and he rolls very well on insight checks.
I'm telling the truth, though.
The DM knows you're telling the truth, but he remains slightly unconvinced.
No, it really was a temple to Bahamut. It even had the stained glass with the wagons.
I kind of wish that last detail wasn't part of it.
And then Doldane tried to convince them to go inside, and Gox tried to convince them to go inside, and then I had to come out and to convince them to go inside.
And the baby kobold said, look, someone's been sleeping in my bed, and they're still there. Wait.
And basically what we're saying is this isn't Marwise's fault. Hello?
Hello? Not sure how to react to that.
In my head, canon, and you can take this or leave this because it's your character, and I get that. Marwise lets out a breath that she didn't know she was holding.
That sounds about right, actually.
Right. Well,
I can do it again if you want.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Let's save this for a different opportune moment. The Rotfoot clan has been helpful in making some progress with the construction. They have some unorthodox methods that may have required me to cast Lay on Hands a bit more often than I'm used to when not in combat situations. Apparently, construction is a combat situation for some.
Oh, yes.
When Varn yells out, so's inventing, he waves around his scorpion on a stick. Fenix just does not know what to do with this information. So he ignores that. They've not made a good impression on the other folk in town.
Hmm.
Apparently, it took a while for them to understand that things that are left out aren't necessarily abandoned, as Ooh, are things yeah. left in, or behind locked doors, or in one case, behind a locked door, down a flight of stairs that was partially disassembled, through a dark hallway, and inside a file cabinet upon which have been painted the words, Beware of the Tiger.
Well, some of them don't know how to read, I'm sure, you know.
So are you saying that you've seen Socks recently?
Does anyone see Socks if he doesn't want to be seen?
You got a point there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, can we help?
Can you corral them?
Sure!
Certainly try. And while the sun is up, we can help too.
I just had this image of four kobolds riding around on better frogs. waving lassos in the air and wearing cowboy hats as a bunch of other kobolds are running around in a herd and we hear yippee country music playing.
Yippee-ki-yo! Kobold riders.
Get along, little kobolds.
The ground.
Okay, so that's going to be a side adventure we're going to have to do at some point. Let me add that to my notes.
An old kobold went riding out.
This is a weird game, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just, one, not going exactly where I expected it to go, and two, wow, this is off the rails.
So, is there still that graveyard out back?
Oh, no.
Kobold Construction Simulator. Yes, I'm here for this content, no. Cindy.
So, Dave, maybe we shouldn't that. You know, the thing.
In the time after you left, I made sure all of the remains were transported to consecrated soil.
Oh, okay.
Zeely lets out a whew.
Daldane, your disappointment concerns me.
Out of character, I guess I'll just have to kill some kobolds.
Galax asks if you need a hand. Varn shushes him again.
I can get everybody on task.
I was gonna help.
May I remind the rest of the party what social skills Zeely is proficient in?
Yep.
The DM is very everybody much...
Same social skills that got everyone to go into the temple.
Yeah.
The DM is very much aware that Zeely's persuasion checks are actually intimidation checks. And also the DM is here for this content.
Look, do you want to die or do you want to help?
Hey, no, I wouldn't kill them.
You'd be surprised what you can live through.
Oh, my.
Do you want to be reduced to one hit point so that someone else can kill you? Or do you want to help?
Marwise is probably going to be going around just... She doesn't know anything about construction, but she's got a reasonably high wisdom score that she's going to try to advise on safety. And, if needed, spend a few of her smaller spell slots on healing.
Okay, give me an insight check at disadvantage, because as you stated, you know very little about construction.
Yeah. I mean, I think literally I have two spells that are relevant here. One of them is mending, and one of them is I can create 5 zombies.
I don't think Gox has any skills towards this other than lifting things.
So Marwise got a 19 and a 10, and this was at disadvantage, so we're going with 10. Even with a 10, as you look around, you don't think there's anything about this construction site that is OSHA compliant. And matter of fact, there is no such place as Geneva in this game world.
Oh, but, no.
But there is a convention that has outlawed this at somewhere. Probably on multiple planes of existence.
Daldane, shall we talk to them?
Yeah, let's talk to them. I mean, after they've had a good night. Right?
It's been a long day's night. Although they got no work done at all last night.
Yeah.
They had the night off.
Yeah. We'll let her rest. They will talk to her.
So, is anyone going to attempt to do anything with the construction site? Now that you've had an inspection of it and said, that's not right?
Try to make it safer?
Well, the first thing you do is you take the barrel of nails that's directly underneath the rickety ladder, missing half of its rungs, and you move it so it's not underneath the rickety ladder.
Okay. So basically Marwise is directing and Gox is just pushing things and moving things. You want this where?
It's...
It's stuff that's all, like, blatantly obvious.
Yeah, I didn't score high enough for much, but random kobold construction crew, yeah, I might be able to do that.
I don't think Old Earth is going to help here.
If I spot anything with that mental help, I'll definitely use it there.
Someone left their marble collection on the second floor.
Oh, no.
Mold Earth would.
They saved the foundation, so that's where Mold Earth would have been the most useful.
Well, I am going to polymorph Gox.
Okay.
But a T-Rex isn't going to be able to lift anything.
No, a T-Rex isn't.
You've got teeny little arms.
But a giant ape will.
Okay.
This is no time to be monkeying around.
And a giant ape has a strength of 23.
Nice.
Okay.
So, ook.
All right. That's cool. So, point at stuff and Gox will ape on over there and move it, I guess.
Okay. Fenix takes this in stride and points out various things like timbers that need to be moved into place and such, and you show off your incredible strength.
Mm-hmm. Does a flex, picks up the timber, you know. Yep.
Yeah, I can do this for 3 consecutive hours, so.
And then you need a lunch break for 8 hours.
Zeely, having a strength of 5, mostly flies around and makes comments and points at things.
Actually, strictly speaking, I can do this for 7 consecutive hours. Well, strictly speaking, I can do it for 8, but I've got to reserve a spell slot for the mansion.
All right.
And Zeely, I'm sure, is disappointed because there's very little in construction that requires anything to be set on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, there are...
spells are useless here. She could animate objects, but not for very long.
There are bricks, but those are pre-fired. Those are brought in, already sent through a kiln. So
that's kind of unfair.
Actually, I was thinking about that, though. If you animated like a platform, then you could carry stuff up to, like, if you used your animated objects to animate like a couple of huge platforms, then you could carry stuff up to the upper level.
Yeah, but it lasts for a minute.
Oh, well, okay.
So for 1 minute, it would be one of the most terrifying. It would be one of the most terrifying scenes from Fantasia.
Yes.
Because the Night on Bald Mountain didn't freak me out at all, but the Sorcerer's Apprentice, that freaked me out.
I am not an apprentice sorcerer. But I do have a decanter of endless water.
Yes.
That's true.
Oh my gosh, the connections.
What we need to do is embed that into a fountain.
But it's my decanter of endless water.
Yeah, well.
Galax asks if he can borrow it.
Are you going to animate mops?
I don't think I can, unless they used to be alive. And that has theological ramifications that I don't want to think about right now.
Or druidic ones.
I just want to show you this cool trick.
What cool trick?
Oh, it's really cool. Let me show you.
How about you explain the cool trick?
It ruins the trick if I tell you in advance. You'll get it back. I'm not going to break it.
Are you going to break anything else?
I hope not. It would go horribly wrong if I did.
Good enough. Here you go.
Okay. He goes and puts it up to the hole in his mask, tilts his head back, and sticks out his arms, and he's a fountain. For effect, he spins around in a small circle in place, and water is shooting out of his sleeves in both directions. His torso and pants appear to be bulging out a little bit. They are a bit full to capacity of water, unfortunately. Fenix Sr., let me roll for him.
Oh, no.
He's stunned.
Oh, no.
He does not know what's going on, and he's not sure he really wants to ask at this point. It's probably the less he knows about this, the better.
Shape water.
I am concerned. and intrigued about what you do with shape water right now. Io has broken their self.
Yes, Io has broken themselves. Yeah. I'm sorry.
In my headcanon, Zili is also literally rolling on the ground laughing.
Yes.
At whatever Zili has just done.
But actually, she's just going to... Well, she's going to animate the fountain into... now it's going the other direction with, like, floaty shapes of water. And also, I'm going to try to roll deception so that maybe Fennec Sr. will think the shape water is at fault for this and not the...
The fact that this is actually an animated skeleton?
Has Fennec caught on yet? Hopefully not.
You don't know.
I'm rolling deception anyway. 16.
A 16. Okay. Well, let me check Fenix's insight. At some point, the DM should have brought this character sheet up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The DM might not have thought that you were going to go back to the Dragonborn settlement.
Right.
All right. His insight bonus is... ties go to the attacker.
Oh, wow.
He assumes everything is Zili's fault.
You know, if that's the assumption we're fighting against, shouldn't he have had to roll at disadvantage?
Well, considering this is actually not true, everything is not Zili's fault, he is actively deceived. Okay. Daldane, do you in fact blow your higher level spells to keep using polymorph?
No.
I hear the disappointment in your voice.
Yeah.
I'll blow my fourth level spell.
Okay. All right. So at the end of the day, you haven't finished anything, but significant progress has been made. Enough that Fennec Sr. is not too dismayed about one night going by with no work whatsoever getting done.
Well, that's good.
Yep. As the sun is setting, you hear another copyrighted Disney song. As a bunch of kobolds come out of out of the basement. They have a tunnel that adjoins it. Like, oh, wow. You got some work done.
That's right. And everybody else will be getting quite a bit of work done tonight. Yes?
Hey, someone help me move this barrel of rusty nails back under the ladder. Someone moved it out in the way again.
No.
Gosh, stands in front of it.
Where's my marble collection? I left it on the second floor so it wouldn't get stolen.
Ahem! Everyone!
Y'all better listen to her. She's scary.
As everyone's pouring out, I'm going to go ahead and cast Eagle Splendor on Zili.
Oh my gosh.
What does that do?
It gives me advantage on charisma checks.
Okay.
Yes.
So, as Zili yells out, they all sort of stop what they're doing, some of them in comical mid-action poses, a few of them with their mouths hanging open in mid-word, and they all sort of just look over at Zili.
Zili assumes that this is the normal response to her talking.
With this tone of voice, it actually usually is.
Right. So, it's come to our attention that, I'm not entirely sure what an OSHA is, but you violated it. All of it.
No, OSHA's my cousin. He said it was cool.
Well, I guess a different OSHA put it into practice. It's probably about building tunnels and such usually, but anyway, this wouldn't even be safe for tunnels. So, everyone, we're going to do this much less obscenely dangerously.
I'm going to go ahead at this point and
And I am going to explain to you.
I'm not hearing all that.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry, I interrupted.
That's all right.
You're both interrupting each other.
At this point, I'm going to cast Levitate on so that she rises about 5 feet in the air.
Never mind that she could do this on her own with her wings, but she is effortlessly just rising into the air without flapping her wings at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The Wait, point being, I need she's to supposed check to have she's supposed to have this aura of authority.
One moment, I need to make sure that you can that's not a concentration issue. Never mind. I can't see through all of these spells right now.
Oh, that's a fair cop.
And to be honest, the DM is going with Rule of Cool at this point.
Okay. That's fair. Anyway, you see all of this? All of these things you've been doing? I am going to explain to you exactly the reasons why we do not do that. And Zeely launches into a tirade about construction accidents in somewhat unnecessary detail. I'm going to make an intimidation roll now.
At advantage, to be sure.
Yeah. So Zeely's basically becoming one of those really disturbing old Canadian workplace safety ads.
Oh my.
26.
So there are kobolds attaching rubber grips to the ladder rungs. There's other kobolds that are repairing ladders. There's other kobolds that are taking the piles of broken glass that were put in conspicuous locations and sweeping them under a rug and then wrapping the rug up and putting it in the garbage because that rug shouldn't have been out anyway. It wasn't nailed down, but never mind about that. You have, for the want of a better expression, whipped them into shape without having to use a whip.
Excellent. I can't remember what I'm referencing right now, but I'm just... There's a moment in something that I have watched recently where something really big just looks at a group of people and goes, "Do better!" And that's what I'm thinking.
This is like that, but a higher pitched voice from a much smaller being that is significantly more terrifying.
Can't argue with that.
Yes.
All right, so we got them working the way that we want to.
Mm-hmm. Fenix Sr. comes over to Zeely as she's basking in her moment of triumph and says, "Are you sure you didn't take any levels in Paladin?"
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, she knows Daldane.
Okay. There were things I had planned for tonight that we're just not going to get to. And I'm okay with it. I think this is a very good point to end it. We have been playing for 2 hours. So thank you everyone for listening in. Thank you everyone for playing. I've been joined tonight by a bunch of fantastic people, including Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. Is there anything that anyone wants to plug?
My mom writes books. You can find them at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
I run a social media website. Find it at elkk.xyz, and unofficially, and actually officially now, registrations are back open.
My website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. I'm doing a thing called Blogist, where everyone participating tries to stick a post on their blog every day, or thereabout, and so there should be lots of stuff. Unless I get sick and fail from exhaustion somewhere in the month. But so far, I'm keeping up. And you can check it all out at bookofjen.net.
And to reiterate, because Ellie cut out there briefly, this particular awesome website that you should join.
Oh, sorry.
If you
like
gaming networks, is elekk.xyz.
Sorry, I got to lean forward.
It's quite all right. Also, we do have a Patreon. Not to make tons of money because we're realistic in that regards, but it does help us try to get to break even. We've got a bunch of,
totally.
I'm sorry. It's got a bunch of awesome patrons already, including Alice and Chris and Cindy and Ellie and Eric. who I told most of them not to give us any money because they were actively participating in the games, and then they all said that I was not their real dad, which is accurate. It is very accurate, but never mind about that. So if you want to be cool like them, you could throw a few bucks our way at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and help us keep the lights on, figuratively, not literally. Unless the servers have lights on them. They probably do, but never mind about that. All right. So, thank you everyone for listening in. And until next time, intimidation checks and persuasion checks can often be the same thing.
Especially where Zeely's concerned.
Yeah.
This is true.